This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You're on Saturday Magazine here with Fiona and Joy's new CEO, Ange Barry. And if I keep saying it, she won't be new anymore.
No, it's happened now. It's a thing now,
it's
I think.
It's a thing now.
It's a thing.
So on the program now, moving right along, we have Nicholas Stewart. Nicholas, welcome to the program.
Hi, Fiona. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, Nicholas, you're a partner at Dawson Turco Lawyers. That's an LGBTI law firm. That's correct?
Yes, Dawson Turco Lawyers is Australia's only loud and proud LGBTI law firm, and we proudly say that we act for all communities, but specifically we are gay and lesbian owned and operated, and we seek to ensure that the LGBTI community is included in everything in Australian society.
Well, that's an absolutely fantastic call to arms, really.
Yep, congratulations, that's great.
So you are working with Thorn Harbour Health and a Victorian freelance journalist, Seb Stasevic, to call for a parliamentary inquiry into historical and contemporary institutional responses to hate crimes in Victoria for the LGBTI community. Can you run us through what that means?
Sure. Well, I think what we are targeting is Victoria is very similar to New South Wales in that it has a history of LGBT people being the subject of hate crimes that includes bashings, robberies, and often murders. But I think, or we think, that New South Wales has probably been the focus because of the enormous population and what seemed to be a systematic action by young people in the 80s and 90s to target gay men particularly for very serious violence and murders, including throwing us off cliffs, robbing us, bashing us in public toilets. But what Thorn Harbour, Seb Stasevic and Dawson Turco want to put on the radar is Victoria's history, because we take the view that until we can look back in the past, we can't right the wrongs. We have to go back and look at institutional responses and see where our community suffered, but also how society treated us and how those institutions that are built to protect us failed us. And so in that regard, we're asking the Victorian government to follow New South Wales's lead and create a parliamentary inquiry to put on the record and ensure that members of our community can speak their truth and can speak about their experiences at the hands of violent people, but also when they went to get help, were they helped, and were the perpetrators convicted.
Nicholas, do you think it's Ange, do you think there's been, a level of, not ignorance, but, a lack of awareness around violence and hate crimes against our community here in Victoria versus New South Wales, because of, we've seen lots of documentaries about what's happened in New South Wales, and I recall absolutely the terrible deaths that happened. And however, I've lived in Melbourne all my life, I wouldn't really know the same crimes in Victoria, and I'm a member of the gay community, and I'm thinking, why is that? Why has that happened?
Good question, Ange. And I came to the same conclusion. I was naive in thinking that this was really a New South Wales thing. But after looking up with Seb Stasevic, we've investigated a whole range of historical hate crimes in Victoria, some of which are on parallel or equal to the violence that was experienced in New South Wales. And I can only say that depending on the resources of individuals, things are more likely to get on the radar. For example, in New South Wales, because we had such a spate of hate crimes and because we had, in particular, a very, very friendly, straight police officer who took it upon himself to push for a coronial inquest into some particular murders, we slowly got a voice coming through to the mainstream media. And then again, we had Rick Stenley, who's a straight journalist with The Australian. He too took an interest and tried to bring these stories out into the mass media. Mm. And of course, Scott Johnson, the American mathematician who was found at the base of a cliff in Manly on Sydney's northern beaches, his death was written off as a suicide by police, and it took three coroner inquests and enormous resources from his wealthy brother to push for a proper investigation into his murder.
Yes.
And ultimately he was found to have been killed. So I guess it's just the way things have happened. Victoria, for many reasons, probably hasn't been able to highlight the plight of some very vulnerable members of our community.
Yes. Do you think, given the recent apology by Commissioner Ashton, do you expect to have really great support from the police in pushing for this inquiry? Do you expect that they will come on board and say, yes, we agree, yes, let's get this happening?
I think that apology was so important, and Thorn Harbour and Garth and Toko applaud the Commissioner for that statement. It was a very brave statement, and yep. I think it moves us into the future. But at the same time, I think generally institutions are reluctant to reflect on past conduct.
Yes.
There may, I would expect, be officers in the Victorian Police Force who were investigating hate crimes in, say, the 90s and who are still around today and may not have done their best because of perhaps a bias
yes.
against the gay community, may not have done their job to their fullest. And so I can appreciate that there may be a reluctance to go and look at the past. But I guess we're not looking to necessarily lay blame on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We are simply looking from a societal perspective, how were our communities so vulnerable and why were we not protected on one level? And what can we do to ensure that we are never the subject of such brutal crimes in the future? But also, how do we also make sure that our institutions are there to investigate leads and question witnesses and not lose evidence?
I think it's such important work that you're doing, because inquiries such as this, and we've seen, you know, so many critical inquiries over the last few years, serve many purposes, one of which is actually to educate the broader community about these issues and the fact that they even happened in the first place. And then the second is to obviously look at, you know, how can we prevent this happening again? And I think that ultimately the impact is hopefully a more inclusive society, because people are made aware and, you know, will no doubt be shocked about what has happened within their own state, and majority of people, I believe, will say, I had no idea that this had happened.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and it is broader than just those direct questions around particular incidents. It is a way of healing injustice, and like you say, putting it on the record and ensuring that our families and friends now just know about what our community went through, but also giving an opportunity for people to put on the record their stories and speak to parliamentarians, our representatives in Parliament, about the injustices of the past.
Yep.
And as you say, with a view to us coming together in solidarity, with a view to making our society better for us.
I think also that really important piece of validation for mental health purposes, emotional purposes for victims of crimes, is going to be a really big outcome from the work you're doing.
Yes, I think so. No. Probably in particular because being heard is part of healing. In the past, and particularly I can speak from experience in New South Wales, the LGBT community has generally been seen to be a fringe community, unworthy of protection. And that unfortunately has led to generations of gay men and lesbians particularly, and trans people, who feel like they're not worthy and are insecure about the institutions and society that are purportedly there to protect us. So having an inquiry like this allows for it all to come out, allows for us to look back at particular cases and particular responses of institutions, decisions of the court, how witnesses were treated, how evidence was treated, with a view to fleshing it out and ensuring that we are all heard and society generally accepts that in the past probably they let us down. The society didn't protect us.
I think one I totally agree, and an area that I am personally quite passionate about is our judiciary. And I wonder about the way we elect our judiciary and the fact that they're often people who are later in their career. And I wonder about how in touch are they and across the issues of current and modern communities. And I personally observed, I guess, some really questionable sentencing and, you know, outcomes of trials. And I think there's a little bit of a community feeling about that going on. And I hope that also another outcome of your work is a look at the judiciary and the role they play in respecting society and, you know, using their decisions to actually reinforce our human rights.
Yeah, so look, I think we can definitely look back at past decisions and reflect on what factors were considered when perpetrators of hate crimes were sentenced or convicted. And at the same time, I think it is the obligation of everyone in the justice system to ensure that the court has all the information available to it when sentencing or hearing the trial of a person accused of a hate crime. For example, defence lawyers have an obligation to raise all the information they can to inform the court. And prosecutors also have an obligation to raise all the information that they have to assist the court in making a determination. So while it is decisions of the judiciary, I think all players in the justice system have a role to play here. Yeah. And that's why inquiries like this are so important, because they put on the radar, they put it front of mind for everyone in the system, the police officers, the victims' advocates, the trial lawyers, the prosecutors, and, of course, the judiciary, as you say. Because we need to be seen, and sometimes crimes against us need to be seen for what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Nicholas, what's the best way for people to get some information or get involved and get behind the inquiry? Should they go to a website, or how do they do that?
Sure, they should reach out to Thorn Harbour Health and let them know that they would like to subscribe to Thorn Harbour's mailing list. They should also write to their Member of Parliament and let them know that they are aware of Thorn Harbour and Duff and Turco's push for this inquiry and throw their support behind it by letting their MP know that they support it. They're the most critical things, but also speak on social media and perhaps keep an eye on the stories that are coming out from Seb, who's conducting some of the investigations down in Victoria at the moment. He's published a few articles, and I published a few articles about what's happened in New South Wales as well. So just generally speak of these things, speak among your friends and at parties, and let them know that it's really important that we can't forget the past if we're going to move on and become a more inclusive society.
Fantastic. So for people who are listening, that's Thorn Harbour, spelled T-H-O-R-N-E, Harbour Health. If you Google, you'll be able to get the website there.
Fantastic, Nicholas. Thank you so much. We have run out of time. We appreciate you letting us know all about it, and enjoy your Sunday, your Saturday afternoon.
Yes, I will do. Thanks for the interesting story.
Thanks. Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.